the hearing. And Madam Manager?
Yes, I want to draw your attention. You have version B, serial number 2669, version B. And what version B does is identify it as Douglas Highway. There are a couple places that it identified it as North Douglas Highway. So that's the change in version B. So this is a resolution confirming the assessment role for LID 93, which provided municipal sewer to the residents along the uphill side of Douglas Highway from street number 2601 to 2631, fixing the time and method of payment and assessment, setting the date of levy, and fixing the time of delinquency and penalties and interest. Notices were published in the newspaper and sent out to residents in the LID area so they'd be aware that they'd have this opportunity to make their views known to the Assembly. At the time of the hearing, the Assembly will sit, as you are, as Board of Equalization, and consider the assessment roll, which is four units that are attached to the your first packet with the resolution in it. And you will make your recommendations for the Assembly then to take final recommendation on it.
Thank you, Madam Manager, for reading the clerk's part two. We got caught up there. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on the assessment roll and this and the resolution serial number 2669B? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move on to the Assembly action. We'll move this to the Assembly and then.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Board of Equalization adjourn and we return and can reconvene as an Assembly and ask unanimous consent.
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Mr. Wanamaker.
As part of that motion, I believe that she also means we recommend approval of Resolution 2669B to the Assembly.
Thank you. Okay with Ms. Becker? That sounds good. She said yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Is there any objections to the amended resolution 2669B? Seeing none, that resolution is affirmed. Mm-hmm. Approval of minutes.
Wait.
Need to approve the November. Is there any corrections to the November 25th? 2013 regular assembly meeting 2013-29. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On page 8, comment attributed to me, middle of the page, says it was a $600,000 difference. I believe I said that was 6,000, not 600,000. That's all I have.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, did you get that? Are there any objections to the amended draft November 25th meeting? Seeing none, as amended, so ordered. Next is the December 5th, 2013 Special Assembly Meeting 2013-30. Are there any corrections or amendments to that set of minutes? Seeing none, I will move. We will accept the December 5th, 2013 Special Assembly Meeting minutes. Manager's request for agenda changes?
None, thank you.
This is the time for a public comment, public participation on non-agenda items. I have one person signed up for a non-agenda item. Is there anybody else who wishes to address us on non-agenda items tonight? Mr. Musselwhite, if you wish to come up, please. Name and rank and address.
Yes, sir. Good evening. My name is Matt Musselwhite. I reside at 17585 Lena Loop Road. I am the Director of Animal Control and Protection for the City of Juneau. Thank you for allowing me this time to speak, Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly. Two recent events with notable media coverage have generated public safety concerns in our community regarding aggressive and dangerous dogs. I'd like to briefly address some of these concerns and provide some insight into our classification procedures. First, for an animal to become classified as dangerous, the animal must have a propensity to attack, have caused injury to a person, or have killed another domestic animal, all of these unprovoked. The owner's history of compliance with animal control code and past violations pertaining to the animal involved in the incident are also taken into consideration. Secondly, once an animal has been classified as dangerous, special requirements are put into place to ensure public safety. Violations in any of these requirements will result in an automatic court appearance. Dangerous dog requirements include the following: $100,000 in liability insurance to be carried by the owner, signs posted to indicate that a dangerous animal lives on the premises. The animal must wear a special dangerous dog collar and tags. And when outside the residence, the animal must be muzzled and controlled by a leash no longer than 4 feet. Owners are required to report any changes in their living status, and each dangerous dog or dangerous animal is monitored by animal control and protection. Additionally, our repeat offense rate by those animals deemed dangerous is low, and violations occurred typically have been for signage that's been blown down by the wind, or the owner did not have the ability to pay the $100 annual dangerous dog license. As animal control and protection, our goal is to ensure the safety of both domestic animals and the general public. We strive to accomplish these goals through education and support of responsible pet ownership. This includes conveying the need for licensing and vaccinations, encouraging owners to spay and neuter their pets, and offering options for dog behavioral training. When all else fails, we provide a safe and place for unwanted and neglected pets. There has been discussion in the media focusing on certain breeds of dogs contributing to the majority of bite cases in our community. Of the 76 dog bites reported in 2012, only 14% are from stray and loose pets. The majority of bites reported are from the victim's family pet. Juneau's top three breeds for reported dog bites include Labrador Retrievers, Shih Tzus, and Jack Russell Terriers. And all 26 different breeds are represented. The majority of non-family attacks are unvaccinated, unlicensed, and unaltered animals with little or no violation history. Based on this information, I would strongly urge the Assembly not to consider any future ordinance that would place restrictions on a specific breed. In coming months, Animal Control and Protection will be seeking to update our current ordinances to improve reporting requirements for dog bites and rabies vaccinations, and we ask your support in this effort. Thank you for the opportunity to address you today.
Thank you, Mr. Musselwhite. Are there any questions? Ms. Karen Crane?
I'm glad you're here because I had planned to bring this issue up under Assembly comments later in the meeting. Is animal control capable? Do you have the authority now to recommend that dogs be euthanized?
We can recommend it in a court if the animal has had a violation past classification as dangerous. So
but
if the owners
to
don't meet the
requirements,
that's correct.
You also talked about 76 bites reported. It's my understanding that animal control, you're really not receiving all of the reports. Veterinarians aren't required to report to you. You really don't have all of the information.
That's correct. The 76, the majority of those are reported by healthcare providers, which there's a state law requiring that. We typically do not get reports from people that have minor bite injuries that don't require hospital care, or from owners that are responsible to report the bite but are afraid of the ramifications of reporting.
I was going to ask. I really think that we need to take a look at Title VIII and make sure that animal control has everything that they need to be able to manage this situation. I had a conversation with Hava Lee, and she agreed. She had said that you two were talking about this and agreed that we really needed to go back and take a look at Title VIII and make sure that we're able to effectively deal with the kind of situations that we've had reported in the paper, and even more importantly, do what we can to avoid those kinds of situations.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. And I guess I would just advise the Assembly that the city manager is looking into this and figuring out what her responsibilities are and what the city's responsibilities are. So she's taking care of it from her end, and I think that we should shuttle all those requests for information through the city manager, including from animal control to the city manager, so that if we have to have changes to any of our codes or anything, that we get it done through staff in the proper method. So, Mr. Jesse Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Musselwhite, you said that with animals that are classified as dangerous, animal control, I'm forgetting your exact term, checks up, monitors them, I think you said. What, practically speaking, what does that look like?
Well, we do spot checks on residences to ensure signs are posted. For the most part, we, you know, verify vaccinations. We, if we see the animals out in public, ensure that they are muzzled, you know, things of that nature.
And if I may, so the ensuring their muzzle, I mean, I think in the 13 years I had dogs in jail, I don't think I ever had a contact with an animal control officer. What?
I appreciate that.
And so do I. But I mean, do you get to know the dogs by sight or the owners by sight? Well, how does that?
There's, at this point, there's only 14 animals that are classified as dangerous in Juneau, potentially dangerous or dangerous. So it's a fairly small group.
And I guess the last question would be 76 bites reported by healthcare providers.
That's not just the healthcare providers. It's slightly less than that by healthcare providers. There is some self-reporting that should be added into that.
Okay. 14 animals classified as dangerous. What's the spread?
Okay, so if your family dog bites you and it's unprovoked, we're not going to immediately go into a classification system with that. There's lots of bites in this town. Like I said, there's probably many times more than, you know, 76 a year that are unreported. Many of them are very minor. The classification system puts a pretty heavy burden on the animal's owner, and we want to be pretty fair and just with that classification. If it's a one-time offense for a family dog, or the incident is not very aggressive in nature, maybe a response to the animal being scared, something along those lines, we might issue a citation or just educate the owner on, you know, how to avoid that type of scenario in the future.
Thank you.
Mr. Carlton Smith.
Mr. Musselwhite, have you ever met my dog? You know my dog?
I'm not sure.
Okay, good. Back to the data there, that number 76, do you feel that you've got a good start on the data you're compiling? And if so, what do you see the trend line? Are we the same?
It's pretty flat throughout the years. There may be a small increase from year to year. I just compiled a period from 2001 to 2012, and you know, there might be an increase of maybe 5 to 10 reported bites a year, pretty flat.
Thank you.
Ms. Becker?
Thank you. Do you have a threshold where you say if this happens with a dog, we are going to court?
Well, it's all pretty well laid out in Title VIII ordinances and how that functions. Yeah.
Okay. So that's what you use, that completely helps.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Jones, did I see a hand?
Yeah. Since you talked about the 76 bites and it was the family pet, I'm assuming that 76 is an animal biting a human?
That is correct, yeah.
Do you have any data on dogs attacking other dogs or other animals attacking other animals and resulting injuries? Or because I guess that, you know, the two incidents, you know, were pretty much dog on dog, with, you know, humans being bit trying to break that up. So that's a little different situation than a family pet being out of control and biting the kid or something.
Yeah, that's correct. At this point, there's no requirement for reporting other than by the owner of the aggressor canine.
So the veterinarian is not required to report, but if I were to show up in the ER with a dog bite, the physician's required to report.
That is correct.
And does that primarily do the rabies?
The reporting? It is, yeah.
But a dog on dog or another animal doesn't raise the same issue with rabies?
It does to me, but it does not by ordinance.
Thank you.
Ms. Kroll?
Thank you. Mr. Musselwhite, thank you for coming and clarifying the whole process about, you know, what constitutes a dangerous animal. And am I to understand that that's a designation sort of last resort?
It is. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And we have 14 dangerous animals classified now. Is that higher or lower, or is that also a flat trend?
It fluctuates greatly. Some owners become proactive and go through a process to have that classification removed. It's an extensive process, but it is an option to an owner, mainly requiring the animal go through some canine good citizenship classes and you know, become pretty proficient and being, you know, responsible by voice command and being completely in control, far more than my own personal dogs. Mm-hmm. It's very big hoop to jump through. The other route that owners take mm-hmm. to remove the classification is to ship the animal outside of Juneau.
Thank you.
Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Matt and Jerry, early on in your presentation, you said something to the effect, I'm going to paraphrase this, that if your agency deems an animal has the potential to cause injury, it can be labeled as dangerous. Is that pretty close to what you said?
That is correct, yeah.
I think any pet has the potential to cause injury under the right set of circumstances.
That's correct.
And I might have been reported on once by a doctor, I'm not sure. But what are your criteria, if you could just thumbnail that for me, for what gets something across that potential threshold? Excuse me. Thank you.
If a bite has not occurred, an animal is being aggressive, if it has a extensive history for me, I may consider that classification. But, you know, if it's chasing cars down the street or occasionally chasing kids, something along those lines, without, you know, making any kind of physical contact, I would probably go the citation route instead of classification.
Okay, but a lengthy history wouldn't be just off leash, off collar, and you find it.
No.
And people come and claim it. That wouldn't qualify for that.
Extensive history of aggressive, you know, towards person
okay.
or other animals.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Musselwhite? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank
Mr.
you
Musselwhite.
For your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. All right, public participation on non-agenda items is closed. We'll go to the consent agenda. Does anybody in the public wish to request a consent item other than ordinances for introduction be pulled? Seeing none, assembly requests for consent agenda changes. Seeing none, assembly action. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we adopt the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Public hearing. Madam Clerk, will you please read Ordinance 2013-11Y?
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $12,505 as funding for the purchase of law enforcement equipment, funding provided by the Roaded Service Area Fund balance asset forfeiture reserve.
Madam Manager?
These funds would be used to purchase 6 Nikon cameras to be used by the Criminal Investigation Drug Unit and 1 sniper rifle with a Night Force rifle scope to be assigned to the SWAT unit. Funding is provided by the Asset Forfeiture Reserve, which is a portion of the Road and Service Area Fund balance. The funding source is from asset forfeiture and seizure monies the police department has received as a result of major drug investigations. Under state and federal asset seizure statutes, monies that are realized as a result of a seizure and disposal of personal assets of individuals involved in drug trafficking can be equally divided among the various agencies involved in the investigation. Once those assets are allocated to the agencies involved, the money seized must be expended in areas of law enforcement and drug enforcement efforts. The Asset Forfeiture Reserve currently has $295,000 available for use. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment or testify on this ordinance, 2013-11Y? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move to assembly action. Ms. Crane?
I move adoption of ordinance 2013-11Y and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Thank you, Ms. Crane. Madam Clerk, will you please read ordinance 2013-11Z?
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $75,000 as funding for enhanced security and monitoring capabilities at the downtown cruise ship docks. Grant funding is provided by a U.S. Department of Homeland Security port security grant.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager?
This is an operating grant and requires a $25,000 match for a total approved project amount of $100,000. This match will be met by the Docks Fund existing FY14 adopted budget, and there's no need to appropriate the additional $25,000 from the Docks Fund balance. This project will provide greater security and monitoring capabilities consistent with federal law and the CBJ Docks and Harbors Facility Security Plan. The Docks and Harbors Board reviewed and recommended approval of this grant funding at its October 31st, 2013 meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. And I'll move to assembly action. Mr. Lauren Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move the approval of ordinance serial number 2013-11Z and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll move on to unfinished business. And Madam Manager, I think we have an updated set of information from law on this one.
I'll turn it over to the city attorney.
So it's my understanding that a revised decision was circulated today, that there was a requested change, and that there are some questions. Since you are sitting as a quasi-judicial body for the purposes of adopting this decision, it's not subject to the Open Meetings Act, so if you would like some time with your attorney to discuss and adopt the draft, you can do so maybe just prior to executive session starting. Or if you would like to take it up now, you can. But those are your options.
Does anybody feel that we need to go into executive session or just move forward with this in open session?
Mr. Mayor, do we have the amended draft in
yep.
front of us all?
Yep.
I got one by email.
Nope.
Where if you don't, I have them right here. You can take a copy and pass it on down. Don't have
it. Down here, huh?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
As the presiding officer for this appeal, I reviewed the comments. The process is once the draft was approved by us, it went to the two parties. The O'Briens did submit a comment. The city said they had no comments on the draft. What you have before you, the changes, are the changes that the city's attorney, based on the comments from the O'Briens made to the decision. I did review it, and I thought it was good that the changes, to me, seemed appropriate. I know the attorney then emailed out to everybody. There were a couple of comments from assembly members that it looked good and some specific comments from assembly member Keel. So it's before us for discussion about the proposed changes that the city's attorney, Jane Stevens, had made.
Thank you. And nobody has a problem with us doing this in the open session. Thank you. That's what I needed to get to first. Ms. Stevens. And Mr. Keel, do you want to do any explanations first, Ms. Stevens, or do you want to just have us start asking a few questions that we might have?
I'm happy to just take questions. I assume everybody was able to read Mr. O'Brien's comments. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the revisions wouldn't make any
sense. Mr. Keel.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had one actually just stylistic suggestion, and then I guess I didn't see the need for adding footnote number six. But in terms of the fundamental legal analysis in this draft, that's not a concern. I would, Ms. Stevens, I emailed you my comment that I didn't know that footnote six added anything, and that I sort of disagreed with the tone of it, but it's not, I guess I don't have substantive legal issues with this draft.
First, let me say that your stylistic, I did correct that, and I don't know if the version that Presiding Officer Jones circulated included that, but that was an excellent edit you had on that, and I made that little change. I do not feel that legally footnote six is essential to the decision. It seemed like there was some confusion about counting income twice by the CBJ in the comment, and I don't think that was something developed at the hearing as far as it was sort of a theoretical concept of the income being counted twice, but it seemed the comments were focused on, in the context of the hardship application, it could actually be counted twice. So that was what the footnote was addressing. But I don't think the legal analysis changes, and I don't think it's essential. So if you want it stricken, I think there's no problem with that.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Mr. Jones.
Mayor, then I would move that we approve the decision on appeal as amended that was passed out with the deletion of footnote number six, and I'm going to ask unanimous consent.
We didn't vote on deleting that, Mr. Jones.
Oh, okay. Then I will move that we approve the proposed decision on appeal.
Thank you. Are there any objections?
Mr. Mayor, I would move that we delete footnote six.
Friendly amendment. Huh?
Yeah.
Mr. Jones, do you take that?
Not a problem.
Thank you. As amended, is there any objections to the appeal decision? Thank you very much. The decision on appeal stands. New business. Anything, Madam Manager?
Nothing, thank you.
Staff reports?
I like friendly amendments.
Yes, I would draw your attention to the new Assembly 2014 calendar that was in the front of your notebook. When we put the calendar together, we didn't know when the AML conference would be held in November, and we picked the wrong week. So the revised calendar, which we would like you to adopt tonight, changes the AML conference to the week of the 17th, which then moves the human resources meeting to the 10th of November.
Has everybody got that in front of their book? Okay.
Fine. Oh, excuse me. And it also moves the Finance Committee meeting. I think the Finance Committee meeting was already on the 12th, but it moves the Finance Committee to the 12th as well, and the Assembly meeting. to the 10th.
Are there any objections to the changes to the calendar? Seeing none, so ordered. Thank you, Madam Manager. Probably won't be the first set of changes to the calendar. assembly reports. Tonight you heard the recommendation or the proclamation for the Amazing Bookstore. On Saturday, I've got a proclamation for the Filipino community at their Christmas party. If anybody wishes to be there with me while I read it at their Christmas party, you're more than welcome to be there. If I can get a count tonight, if there's going to be more than three of us, then we probably have to make sure we get it in somewhere.
What night was that?
Saturday.
Of what?
What Saturday?
It's Saturday. Okay. Coming up real soon.
Oh, the 21st.
Sounds good to me. Whatever day that is.
I will attend.
Okay. Who else wants to attend?
What time again?
5:30.
Oh, 5:30.
This Saturday. Yes, I would like to.
Okay, that's 3.
5:30.
Anybody else? That's 4. So if we could do something to get it and meet public notice, because we're going to more of us be there.
It should be okay because it's a social gathering.
Okay, that's fine. I just want to make sure we're
covered. I cannot go.
Don't. As long as you don't get in your group and discuss things.
Yeah, okay. We'll be careful. Okay, committee reports. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The committee of the whole met, and we discussed, Ms. Tika gave us information about voting by mail and plans to continue researching that possibility. We saw the initial drawings of the library design. We discussed the Disturbing the Peace ordinance and sent it to the Assembly with an amendment to remove between the hours of 10 p.m. and 9 a.m. from the noise from vehicles section. We heard a report from Karen Johnson, the financial consulting solutions primary person, who gave us preliminary results of the water sewer revenue requirement, and the Assembly requested that there be information given to us outlining the uses for those increases. And we passed orders of the day for the USE 2011-0030. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Ms. Crane, you have a couple of announcements at least?
We have a finance committee meeting this Wednesday night at 5:30. I apologize. We have kind of a long agenda again.
And again, that agenda was here on your desk, so make sure you save that out. And don't throw it in the white papers behind you, please. So we have two meetings coming up, and that's tomorrow. Mr. Keel will say those things too. But anyway, Mr. Keel, why don't you go next and tell everybody?
All right. You talked me into it.
Another exciting meeting.
Thank you. Maybe I'll start with the announcement to remind the members that tomorrow night we meet as Human Resources Committee of the Whole to consider applicants for the Planning Commission. The clerk's office informed me that the one applicant whose answer to written questions we were waiting for has elected to withdraw his name. So wait no longer. Read all you've got. That's the field. And it is a deep and rich field. Mr. Mayor, the regular meeting of the Human Resources Committee was immediately before our full assembly meeting tonight. We heard a presentation from the Homeless Coalition on the Housing First concept, a concept they're calling Atsei Hit, which I won't try to translate and probably mispronounced, but a significant, in fact, a tremendous unmet need for folks in our community who are chronically homeless, especially due to alcoholism and other drug dependence and mental health issues. And we had an opportunity to talk with Mr. Scott Chambor about the potential that concept has to address those needs and the significant challenges to bring a project online. So we also asked him for some financial projections take a look at what the prospects might be moving forward. We also heard the annual report of the Building Code Advisory Committee and considered appointments. We have one open seat. The Human Resources Committee recommends appointment of Pat Gorman to the one, or reappointment, excuse me, to the one open seat on the Building Code Advisory Committee for a term ending November 30th, 2016.
Are there any objections to that appointment? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
That's it for me. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heel. Mr. Smith, Chair of Lands.
No lands report tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker?
Mr. Mayor, I do have a report of an interim committee, the Committee for Selection of the Contractor to Complete the Economic Development Plan for Juneau. Met for the second time today. An announcement is pending. There has been a selection made, but the announcement is pending through the manager's office. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good work, you guys. Mr. Wanamaker, are you still with us?
I am, Mr. Mayor.
Chair of Public Works, please.
Public Works and Committee, Facilities Committee met about a week ago and heard the water sewer rate study update, and that same program was presented to the Committee of the Whole that same evening, so there's no additional information from that meeting. The next item is tomorrow at 1 o'clock in 224. The Public Works and Facilities Committee will meet in a work session to review a draft for project labor agreement review guidelines, and I'll have that information ready in the morning, a first draft to start considering how to for the committee to start working on. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. We'll move on to liaison reports. Mr. Jones at the far end, we'll go.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The local emergency planning committee met Wednesday during the snowstorm. We had one person over the necessary to make a quorum. A lot of information, but nothing pressing other than we were all glad we got there and got away safely. Docks and Harbors Board met on the 12th, and just a couple of things to report. One is the Department of Natural Resources received one comment during the comment period on the submerged tidelands. That was part of our discussion several meetings ago related to the 16B project. And Docks and Harbors says talk to them, encourage them to expedite their review. And they're anticipating a decision no later than early January. So it'll still be after the first of the year. But there was just one public comment that was received on that land. Secondly, they have completed the Christmas boat lighting contest. And I checked with Carl, and he said there's a press release pending about that. The board also, after the meeting on the 12th, sat as a subcommittee, and they have completed their first rewrite of their bylaws. And I think talking with a couple of members as they were leaving, they thought there would probably be one, maybe two more meetings on that before that would be, and then through law before it would end up with us probably sometime later on in the spring. But they are working on trying to look at their bylaws.
And their schedule does include law somewhere?
I believe so. Okay. I'm just not exactly sure when, since okay. I didn't sit on in the committee. Right. I went to the Visitors and Convention Bureau dinner. That was much more important to me than Dr. Harmer's bylaws.
Just make sure that happens,
yes,
Mr.
Sir.
Jones. Thank you very much.
Yes, that's my report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll go for the easier one first here. Airport Board met last Wednesday on the 11th. And got an update on several things. The runway repair project, they are hoping to go or to begin construction on that April 1st of 2014 with a July sometime completion on that. They're also looking into the possibility of relocating the snow removal equipment facility. How do I want to say this the easiest way to understand? There's
north to the west, yes. Or from the west to the north.
Yeah, see what I mean? From by Yandukin to over by the sewage treatment facility plant. Because there's been apparently some interest expressed in using the property there between Temsco and the guard hangar there. On December 4th of this year, the airport received a letter from Abby's Kitchen declining further negotiations on the airport food beverage contract. The airport is working with purchasing department to work on a plan B to look at other food beverage options in the terminal. I suggested to the airport manager that she might want to provide the assembly an update on that in executive session if possible. Yeah, that was the biggie. The FAA is in town for several things. There was some concern briefly when the group assigned to give the thumbs up on the airport lead-in lighting was reassigned to New York before the inspection was done, and they had no plans for coming back. So some phone calls were made. I believe Mr. Keel's aware of some of those as well. Some phone calls were made, and they ended up staying in town, which is great, I think, because that project has had a few hiccups, but so close to completion, it seemed a shame to pull those people responsible for completing it out of town with no return time. So that was remedied, thanks in part to, I believe, our Alaska delegation. And the FAA, the other part of the FAA that is in town, they're doing a part 139, I think it's 139, maybe 149, inspection. 135, all right, I forget. There's so many regs out there, I forget. They're doing one of those, and they also have somebody in town that is doing a compliance check for the FAA regarding their grant funding and FAA availability to get grant fundings on compliances with hangars. And if I get into the weeds too much on this, I'll just try and break it down into layman's terms. They were going to look through some of the hangars, if they got permission from the hangar tenants, to make sure that everything in there was aeronautical in nature. Because if it's not, it could jeopardize future funding or continued FAA funding. So the man that was at the airport board meeting was not very popular from the FAA for that. So they I'll give them credit, though. They hung around and listened to a lot of stuff and then left. I wish I had better news to report from the airport board, but they're moving forward on some other things. Planning Commission. The Planning Commission had several items that they looked at on their December 10th meeting. They approved the Eagle Crest Learning Center. They approved a conditional use to second story to a single-family residence on Martin Road. And they heard a review of the DOT safety improvement project at Glacier Highway and Old Dairy Road, Trout Street. I wasn't aware of this before the meeting, but DOT had a representative came in and talked about their plans to modify that intersection in front of McDonald's and Debris in there. And their plans did not meet with much approval, whatever you want to call it, from everybody in attendance. So that was not supported. Their plan, which was to make it, they called it a pork chop, for lack of a better term, right-hand turns only. If you come off of Old Dairy Road, right-hand turn only. If you come off of or come out of McDonald's in the Breeze Inn, Trout Street there, it's a right-hand turn only as well, and basically pushing traffic somewhere else. And they cited the number of accidents at that intersection, and through questioning of the Planning Commission, it worked out to be about two a year. I think Dennis is in the back, Mr. Watson, Commissioner Watson, if he wants to correct me. I think between two and three accidents a year there. So that plan wasn't supported by the commission. There was also tossed out a roundabout, two-lane roundabout, but that wasn't discussed. That was just in the plans, and that came through with discussion DOT had with McDonald's and Alan Ogren from the Breeze Inn and stuff. Lastly, if you went, the headlines in the paper had it actually a little incorrect. Two meetings ago, it said that the Planning Commission did not act on the Hanzinger Pond rezone. And actually what happened is they ran out of time. It wasn't that they wanted to act on it. they ran out of time, and I was here till 11. Mr. Jones next to me was here till about 10:30 that night, I think, and Mr. Smith was here till about 10, but it went till 11 and they ran out of time, so it wasn't that they didn't want to act on it, it was that they ran out of time. Anyway, that was readdressed this last Tuesday, and here's where I might get it wrong. I've never seen this before. There was a motion made to adopt the findings of fact from the prior map amendment request by the owner, which to me didn't make sense because that wasn't what was before the commission. So I haven't gotten the answers to that yet. There wasn't a map amendment request at this last meeting, but the findings of fact, which I have here, which will be, this is from April 9th of 2013 from the city. It has 12 items on it, and I'll pass around, but the request was to modify two of these, and I didn't get the modifications down on here. And then one of the commissioners served notice of a reconsideration of that. So that was the biggie for the night, and that went on, like I said, that took place over the course of two meetings. And I think since it was moved for reconsideration, we'll hear about that again from me next assembly meeting. Thank you. Sorry for all that length, but it was pretty involved this time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, man. Mr. Dan Kervis, it gets interesting there, doesn't it? Ms. Troll?
Yes, I attended the Juneau Commission on Sustainability meeting, and a couple of quick things that occurred there. Got a review on the energy plan, and that's going to be going out to bid sometime in, I think, mid-January, or toward the end of January. Lots of interest to be on the review committee, so that was good to see. And we also, the commission discussed sending a letter to the architect that did the Mendenhall Library, thanking them for responding to many of the suggestions that the Juneau Commission of Sustainability had made. They did not make every recommendation related to energy efficiency, but they really, you know, acknowledged the fact that it was a great dialogue to have had in the early design stages, and the architect indeed was responsive, so they want to acknowledge that. And then that turned into a discussion about, well, how else can we better review projects up front for energy efficiency? You know, not only building projects, but RFPs and other things. So the commission wants to explore ways to integrate in the city's decision-making process so that there's somebody there to check off for, like, you know, checking a project against the energy audit that was done, and is somebody looking at particular projects with just the focus of energy efficiency. You know how when you go through a checklist of a project and the fire department signs off and there's everybody else, well, it would be great to have somebody checking off for purposes of energy efficiency. So they're going to explore those kinds of options in future meetings.
So, and so would that be somebody in engineering or?
Well, we know that they are very well aware of the fact that there's no additional staff that could be added into it. So, yeah, exploring where is the best fit to have that kind of checkoff happen.
And Ms. Troll, you said there was an RFP maybe going out in January?
For the energy plan.
Has that been voted on to do that? Or is there money available to do that?
Yes.
Where? So I need to talk with you tomorrow about it then and make sure I've got my straight in a row here.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Ms. Troll. Where are we at?
You're going down the line.
Mr. Jones.
You've already done that. You're
liaison.
Mr. Smith, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Convention and Visitors Bureau met on Friday, December the 13th, and they've elected a new chair, and they have decided that they are going to do their strategic planning early in the month of January, and they expressed an interest in meeting about their newly adopted strategic plan with the manager, and also inviting the officers of Public Works, Docks and Harbors, and Parks and Rec. And the purpose of that, again, would be to engage the manager's office and those other officers in their strategic plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. We'll move on to Ms. Crane.
There has not been another hospital board meeting since our last meeting. Their upcoming board meeting will be this Thursday night. If I might also, I would just give a brief rundown on what I've been doing with AML.
Sure.
At the last meeting. I attended the Rural Governance Conference in Anchorage on December 6th and 7th. This conference was put on by the First Alaskans Institute. And then here in Juneau, last week on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, the Northwest Region NACO, National Organization of Counties group, met here in Juneau. It was the director of each AML equivalent from Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana, and the elected president of each of those organizations. And we met Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I think they had despite the weather, had a really good Juneau experience while they were here. Also, one item of good news is that municipal revenue sharing money is in the governor's budget that was just released. You know, the funding formula, the place where we got revenue sharing was changed when the oil taxation was changed. And so there was a question of how it was going to be put in the budget, or if it would even be put in the budget this year, and the governor has included it. So that's good news so far.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Crane. Mr. Gibb.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Affordable Housing Commission, in addition to its regular meeting schedule, has scheduled a retreat for February the 1st. That's a Saturday morning. That's coming up. And the school board is they have their next meeting scheduled tomorrow night. I unfortunately will be unable to attend that, as I'll be enjoying an evening with you and our Planning Commission candidates.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Wanamaker, do you have any liaison reports?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There have been no meeting of the Juneau Economic Development Council since the last meeting. Let's see, what else do I do? I can't remember right now, but I have no reports. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything from Parks and Rec, Mr. Wanamaker?
The Parks and Rec. We're going to get a staff report, but the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee met about 10 days ago, and they took up it was about the 10th or so of December, they took up the hearing on the options for an off-highway vehicle park, and they are forwarding a recommendation to the Assembly, which I'll report what they are recommending to the Assembly. They are recommending to the Assembly, after reviewing five options, that the Assembly authorizes city manager and as the city try to conclude an agreement with Gold Belt to place an off-highway vehicle park on the Gold Belt sand and gravel quarry out there close to Echo Cove. And if those options are not if that option is not successful in negotiations, then the city pursued the 35-mile option, and that the third part of their recommendation is that the city drop all other options that are located near neighborhoods such as Lemon Creek or North Douglas. I think staff will have that official recommendation coming before you. Of course, I won't be able to speak to the Gold Belt portion, but I can say that I think it might be premature to drop consideration of a training area in the Lemon Creek area, but it needs further discussion by the staff as to why that may still be a viable option for the safety of young riders, the training and safety of young riders. That concludes the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee report.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wanamaker. Presiding officer reports. What do we have? We have two. Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I talked with Jane Stevens tonight. We will have a draft of the position we took on the Canavan Arrow appeal prior to the January 6th meeting, so we can review it at that meeting. She will be getting me a draft later on this week, and I'll review it, and we'll go over it, and then get it out to the assembly in time for you to read it before the 6th.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Dan Curvis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have an appeal hearing for the Harris v. Planning Commission appeal on Monday evening, 5 p.m., January 6th.
And we all received a book tonight?
You should have, yes.
To start reading? Thank you, Mr. Dan Curvis. And Ms. Becker, go back to liaison reports for you, since I have a tendency to skip you, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate being remembered, although it's becoming a little bit of a joke. The manager and I smile at each other. It was very nice to be at the Chamber of Commerce dinner. Carlton and I represented all of you with our spouses, although it would have been nice to have had more of you there. It was a wonderful meal of prime rib, and it was a good evening. And at that dinner, Jim Wilcox was announced as the Citizen of the Year. So congratulations to Jim Wilcox. And at the Chamber of Commerce luncheon this coming Thursday at noon, the governor will be the speaker. The Alaska Committee, the prospector was chosen as a caterer for the legislative reception. Wayne Jensen gave us an update on the capital remodel. Right now, the state is soliciting for a contractor for phase two, and hopefully it will start this summer, if that all goes well. JDC told us about their Innovation Summit. It's going to be held January 29 and January 30, and it was announced that it was real encouragement to the assembly members to sign up and plan to attend as much as possible. And that's all. Thank you.
And so just to follow up on that, if there's anyone who wishes to attend and get their registration fees paid, you can go through the city clerk, and she'll sign you up for that innovation summit. And we'll take it out of the mayor's dollars. Sounds good. All right. Any other assembly comments and questions? Mr. Jones?
Just a couple. I did, like I said earlier, I attended the Visitors Convention Bureau annual meeting and dinner. I guess that was the evening before they had their actual board meeting. I found that very interesting. Surprisingly, the number of people in the room I didn't recognize. That was also the same evening we went out to the ribbon cutting for the new radiology center, and also the Docks and Harbors meeting that night. So that was kind of busy. And then with Mr. Keel, we attended the water and wastewater public hearing, which they were going to talk to the public. They did a slightly abbreviated presentation than they had done for the assembly. Contractors and staff outnumbered the public. I think there were four members of the public that attended that evening. And the primary comments, I believe, came from one person who's the manager at the Nugget Mall. So, but actually learned a little bit more. It became just a little bit clearer for me. So I found that interesting, and I really was trying to sort of understand what the public's concerns were, but there weren't that many people there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Anyone else down the line? Mr. Nan Kirby.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Several things I wanted to acknowledge. It looks like I'm going to assume Mr. Gary Lanehart's government class has some students here. I just want to let you know. Not what is it?
Does anybody mind changing the order? Since I've changed it so much tonight on my own. Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you for noticing. But once again, the students from Yokuskidakihidi Alternative High School are here. We come a couple times a year also to see the government in action and process. And for the record, my name is Joyce Thorson. I live on Gold Belt Street, and I'm the teacher, government teacher at Yokuskidakihidi. So thank you for letting them see the process, public process, and the different reports that you've been making. We'll be talking about in class tomorrow on what happened. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Thorson. And has Ms. Troll gotten with you on a mayor's?
Yes, she called. I was out of town when she called, but I've talked to her and this evening, and we'd love to have a what's the title going to be?
Honorary mayor.
Honorary mayor. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We'd love to be involved in that.
All right.
Very much so. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to finish up, just to let you students know, it is more fun doing this than watching it being done. I would like to say Merry Christmas to everybody and a belated Happy Thanksgivica, because I believe that only comes around once every couple of thousand years. We have both of those holidays, Hanukkah and Thanksgiving, at the same time. And I just want to throw this out. I think Reader's Digest had this section called Points to Ponder years ago. Mr. Musselwhite was in here and he spoke with us a little bit ago. And I believe he said that once a dog is considered dangerous or it has done something to another dog or a couple somethings to a dog or a person, they watch that dog for the rest of its life. And we don't do that with people. And I don't offer that for a solution or anything. I just throw that out there because I found that kind of interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Van Purvis. Ms. Kroll, anything?
A couple of quick items. Joy Certis led me into it. I did want to let you know that I have been in contact with all the government instructors at the Juno Douglas High School, Thunder Mountain, and now Yakush, and they are all going to be participating in having an honorary mayor. Juno Douglas High School will go first, and I don't have my dates in front of me, but it'll be tied in with the legislative fly-in and then our assembly meeting on January 23rd. And then Thunder Mountain will do the honorary mayor when we have the AML fly-in in coordination with that. And Yakush, since I just heard from them, then their timing will overlap with Southeast Conference and all that. So I think it's great. So you young students out there, just think about that. You too can be up here for a day. Yeah. I do want to bring up this letter that we got from Serene Hutchinson dealing with the cruise ship terminal staging area improvement phase two, concern about the design not accommodating the traffic flow of whale watching vessels and other current van operators. It appears the window seems to be closing pretty quickly in terms of being able to make modifications without a lot of hardship and cost. So I don't know where to go with this other than I would very much appreciate hearing from the city manager and or the Docks and Harbor on how they would like to proceed and address these concerns that have come before us.
Docks and Harbors isn't here right now, Ms. Troll, so
right.
I don't know if the city manager has anything or not for us.
No, I haven't had a chance to talk to Carl about the letter since we all just got it this afternoon. I will follow up with him tomorrow and ask him to respond back to the full assembly.
I would appreciate that.
Mr. Jones?
Mayor, Jerry and I did talk to Carl, you can tell this evening, about the letter. The letter was dated 2 days after they met with the engineer and responsible for the project.
Who met with them?
The person who wrote the letter met with Docks and Harbor's assistant engineer on the 13th, wrote the letter on the 14th or 15th. Carl is meeting with staff on this in the next day or so. He also said that he'll be pulling together the other interested parties that he had the operators, Gray Line and Princess, that have the larger buses have all been involved and have all approved this. This company is moving into some different size buses, but he is getting on that just as soon as they can get started on it. Also in the Docks and Harbors report, the with some of the good weather, they've been going a little bit longer on the project down there, but they're just about ready to button that up for the winter, and we'll start back in March when the weather breaks again. So they've got some months in there. They're also meeting with harbor staff to talk about, you know, sort of do they need a facilitator, somebody that's down there all the time to make sure that the traffic flow patterns work, that people are paying attention to the flow, and that will also be part of the discussions.
And will that be a city staff or the
he wasn't sure about that, okay. But that would certainly be part of the discussions that they were going to need to do.
Okay, thank you.
Two other quick comments. One, dealing with all the applicants that we had for the hospital board, I just would like to say that I was really impressed with the entire slate of candidates. I'm continually to be amazed at the quality of people that we have coming forward to participate in our government, and it's being exemplified in the applicants we have for the Planning Commission. So thank you, public, for stepping up and giving us quality choices, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I missed a majority of the affordable housing report tonight, but I did hear enough to know that, you know, we need to know more as a full assembly, and I'm sure we will have that opportunity. I was downtown doing Christmas shopping tonight, and in the line of Mr. Nan Curvis' comments, thoughts to ponder, in the store where I was shopping, as an individual, not as an assembly person, had three people approach me, including the owner of the store, and suggest that we have three main problems in downtown. Number one, that's as of today. Number one, parking, the homeless, inebriate issue, and their perception of overall decay in downtown. Now, it's the Christmas season. I wasn't going to get depressed about this, but thoughts to ponder, and I know we're going to talk about some of those things tonight, but as one person on this assembly, I think we really need to refocus ourselves in those three areas and ask some questions about action steps going forward. That's a large issue. Those are large issues, but I'm dedicated to work on them. Thank you.
Did we get examples of parking issues, Mr. Smith?
Well, one comment was made in this interim period where we have the issue with the existing system, that it might be advisable to make a public announcement that until further notice, all those parking charges are abated. And I know that's a financial decision. But it's also a time when, you know, people aren't certain whether the machines are working or not. And the downtown merchants, and there was one in that group tonight, made the comment that that's the public perception, is that we have a system that's maybe working or is broken, and therefore people don't like to go downtown. Now, I don't know that to be true. I'm not a merchant. But it merits some discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Crane?
Just give my, as my fellow assembly people, wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Mr. Gill?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I joined, as Mr. Jones noted, joined him at the to represent you all at the Water and Wastewater public information session.
Dig.
Mr. Jones and I spared our spouses, Ms. Becker, as you might consider doing. But that's up to you. And it was an interesting presentation. I hope that more members of the public attend in our future information sessions as that project moves forward. It has a lot of ramifications. I also had the opportunity this last week with my daughters to enjoy the 101st Governor's Holiday Open House. And I thanked that evening the governor, the first lady, and lieutenant governor for continuing that remarkable tradition, that wonderful thing they do with and for the capital city, and a lot of volunteers It is an incredible thing to see so many folks from this community go and just be welcomed with open arms. You know, there are no metal detectors, x-rays, and they aren't needed. That says wonderful things about the community we live in and the government we can have between both the city and the state. I want to thank Mr. Nankervis for the Thanksgiving greetings. If your secular calendar weren't so boring, these sorts of things might happen more often. But the Hebrew calendar has to provide all the spice sometimes. What can I tell you? And then to Mr. Smith's comments, actually there was a conversation here at the table and with some folks in the room before the meeting started about possibilities for downtown parking in this interim period where we have a real crunch with major construction projects going on, and whether there aren't some options that we could look into, including the Marine Park deck over area as a possibility here during the wintertime. And so the manager has expressed a willingness to look into the terms of the permit when that was built and whether that's something that we can get moving on. And so I look forward to hearing back on that. My thanks in advance for the research. Because those short-term challenges can put a damper on this this season. And walking past, one derelict in particular with the mold smell wafting out on the street can distract you from the fact that I can count just between the time Mr. Smith spoke and my turn here, three businesses that are putting major reinvestments in their downtown properties, as well as, of course, the two tremendous construction projects going on right now. There is reinvestment and there's development and there are positive things going on. Energy is building in some places, so whatever we can do to keep from detracting at the same time, we can build on those positive things.
Thank you, thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Wanamaker, any assembly comments or questions? Mr. Wanamaker, you still there?
Can you still hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay. I was on mute. I want to wish everyone a happy holiday season. Join with the rest of the assembly in wishing the best for our community. The other thing I want to say is that I share the concern of Ms. Crane that we take a serious look at the dangerous dog issue to see that we really understand all of it and that if there are improvements that we can make, that we take it on. This is an issue that I worked on several times as an assembly member. It's not a problem we fully solved the last case that I worked on, and as an assembly member and responding to public comments and public concern about this issue was a young mother who was pushing her baby in a stroller, and they were attacked. And so it is a serious issue, and I'm seeing more loose dogs again in my neighborhood. It was quiet for a while, but now they're out again. And so, perhaps we need to take a serious look at this, and I'm willing to join in that work. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just had a delightful time with the IBEW group when they asked me to give a talk, and I really enjoyed them. The conversation was lively, as you can imagine. And I also went to the radiation oncology opening, and I was just blown away. I think it's about the most wonderful new medical thing that we've had around here. It's going to be great. And I would like you all to come see me tomorrow at noon in front of the First National Bank with your money, because I will be ringing bells. And that would be nice. And then also, whatever your persuasion is, Merry Christmas, happy, whatever the holiday is, happy holidays. And thank you. And I'll see you tomorrow. It's not the end of this year, is it? But still.
No. Thank you very much, Ms. Becker. And continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Do I see anybody from the public who wishes to address us? Seeing none, public comment is closed. and we need to move into recess, remove, and then go into executive session to hear parking management stuff and update on General School District 2012 Oregon incident. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we recess to executive session to discuss parking management and the Juneau School District Oregon incident and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on going into executive session? The two that are written in your book, in your deal there? Parking management?
Mr. Mayor,
mm-hmm. Thank you.
If it's acceptable to the maker of the motion, I would suggest that we need to discuss matters the immediate knowledge of which could be detrimental to the finances of the city and borough of Juneau in the form of the parking management and issues which could tend to prejudice the reputation or character of an individual in the case of the 2012 Oregon incident.
Thank you. Mr. Keel, is that acceptable, Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Okay.
Are there I was told one time I didn't need to go through all
that's
of
okay.
that. But,
that's
you
okay.
know, whatever. I could do it.
Can we take a quick break?
Yes, we will. Is there any objections to going into executive session? Anybody from the public object? Seeing none, we're recessed for 5 minutes. We'll take a break and then come back.
Support comes from the University of Alaska College Savings Plan, helping to reach educational savings goals. Save in Alaska. Study anywhere. Information at uacollegesavings.com.